It's been a privilege to have you join us for this time of ministry. To find more Passion Church resources or to make a donation online, visit www.passionchurch.tv. Remember, you can't live without passion.
Have your Bible. We're going to talk about truth bombs, and today we're going to talk about victors. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. But in all these things, we are overwhelming conquerors through Him that loved us. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. But in all these things, we have full victory through God who showed His love for us through Jesus Christ. And in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15, he simply says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He repulsed, spoiled, disarmed all principality and power. He made a public display of them. He triumphed over them as a conquering general that would lead the captives defeated in battle and parade them down the street to show that they are defeated, that they are vanquished by His conquering power. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them through it, through Himself, through death, through resurrection. And then Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until He comes. And we don't understand that verse of Scripture. He literally said, for as oft as you eat this bread and oft as you drink this cup of My blood, you are proclaiming, you are announcing the victory of the Lord's death and resurrection until He comes. You're not just remembering it or rehearsing it, but you are actually making a proclamation, a declaration, that because of His death and His resurrection, you are a victor. You are set free. Well, it comes from a Greek word, nikeo, which means to overcome. You would know it as Nike, which means victory or victorious or a victor. And both Paul and the Scripture declares a truth bomb. Are you ready for it? Can you handle the truth? We are more than victors and conquerors and overcomers. We are more than triumphant through Him. In fact, when he uses that word, he adds something to Nike or Nikado, and he uses the word hooper, which means we are super. We are super achievers. We are overachievers. It means that He has given us the surpassing victory. That means the battle is won, that the enemy is spoiled and defeated and routed. But it also means that we take the spoils. We not only just win the battle and defeat the enemy, but the spoils of victory belong to us. And we take what was defeated as captors and we parade them as trophies of victory through the streets as an open testimony that we have won through Christ and that we are victors in Him. We are hyper conquerors. We are preeminently victorious. We don't win 1-0. We win 52-0. We are victors through Him that loved us. Wow. You're looking at me. Because you see, there's a lot of Christians who don't believe that. But we know that the Scriptures constantly declare this in every area of our life. Thanks be to God who causes us always to triumph in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. They that be for us are more than they that be for them. If God be for us, who can be against us? I give you power to tread upon lions and young lions and adders and dragons. He gives us power over all manner of sickness and disease. He gives us power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and nothing by any means shall harm us. And Paul goes on to say in that 8th chapter that nothing can separate us from the fact of God's love in Christ Jesus. Height, nor depth, nor principality, nor power, or things present, or things to come, or death, or life, or any other creature will ever be able to separate us from the fact of God's love in Christ Jesus. For the Bible says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. As he is, so are we also in this world. John says in 1 John, I write to you, children, little children, because your sins are forgiven. I write to you, fathers, because you've known him from the beginning. But I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. And he not only says that once, but he says it twice. I write unto you because you have won. You are victors. You are conquerors. You win a surpassing victory. You are preeminently victorious over all the forces of the enemy. Didn't Jesus say that very same thing when he said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it to the full? I didn't come just to save your soul from sin, but I came to redeem and to restore your life so that you would live in the fullness of my victory, because I went to the cross, because I took your sins out of the way and nailed them to my own cross, because I triumphed over death and hell and sin and Satan and the grave. You are preeminently victorious and you can have your life to the full. And he says it in the book of Revelation. He says, he that overcometh gets to sit down with me in my throne, even as I also overcome and have sat down with my Father in his throne. We are victors in every area of life. Well, you don't seem to be too excited. We are victors over sin. Listen, we are by nature the children of wrath and disobedience. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are dead in our trespasses and sins, but he has quickened us and made us alive, and he has raised us up together, and he has seated us together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In fact, the Bible says we're not overcomers or victors on our own, but we are made overcomers. We are victorious in him. We are made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb because of conversion, by the word of our testimony, our confession of faith, and because we love not our life unto death, which is commitment. But not only that, he said, this is that which overcometh the world, even your faith. We're made overcomers by our conviction. And then he said, you have overcome the world because greater is he that is in you than he that is within this world. We're made overcomers by the communion of the Holy Spirit. We've been adopted into the family of God. We have access into the presence of God. We are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, which means everything that God gave to his Son, he gives to you. Oh, hallelujah. We are overcomers over sin. For this cause Jesus was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil, so that no longer can they hold together, no longer can they have any consistency. Because of what Jesus did in his death and resurrection, that Satan's work have come unglued. They're defeated. And because we are raised up and seated with him in heavenly places, then we are victors over sin. We have been washed. We have been forgiven. We have obtained mercy. We are justified just like we've never sinned. We are regenerated and born again. We're adopted into his family. His spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are the children of God, heirs and joint heirs with the very Son of God. You are victorious over sin. Well, hallelujah. That's why the Bible says, these things are written that you sin not. In that he died unto sin. In that he lives unto God. Therefore, sin hath no more dominion over him. Oh, but that's him, that's not us. But I've been buried with him in baptism, and I've been resurrected with him in the newness of life, and sin no longer rules and reigns in my mortal body. Whatsoever is born of God doth not sin. Well, I know we have an advocate with the Father. I know the scripture. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous. But John goes on to say, I wrote this for a purpose, so that you would have victory over sin, so that you would sin not. God forbid, how can we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? The devil is the one that sins from the beginning. This is the distinction between the children of God and the children of darkness. The children of God sin. The children of God do not sin, but the children of darkness continue in sin because they're under the influence of their father, who is the devil, who sins from the beginning. But not you. Not if you're in Christ. The Bible says his seed remains in you. And you cannot continue to live in habitual sin. See, you can't handle the truth. The truth is you are a conqueror through Christ over sin. Which means you do not have to sin. It's not that he made you where you can't sin. It made you where you don't have to sin. Amen. Brother Bob, we have to sin every day more than thought and deed. I don't know who taught you that, but the Bible didn't teach you that. Because a thought is not a sin unless you entertain it. You can't keep an evil thought from your mind, but you don't have to entertain it and think about it. You replace it with the thought of God's Word because you have the mind of Christ. I know we're tempted. So am I. But you know what the Bible says? He'll never allow you to be tempted above that which you are able. But will with the temptation make a way of escape that you can bear up under the load. You know what he says? I know your load limit. You know these old country roads with these bridges in Oklahoma? They got a sign on every one of them, load limit, 2 tons. And so this oil equipment comes along. It's a 20-ton rig trying to go over a 2-ton bridge. It don't work. And God knows your load limit. And he will not allow more to come upon you than you are able to bear up under. Another interpretation is this. While the heat is rising in the room, that's temptation, God always makes a door for you to get out before the room bursts into flames. Because you are a conqueror over sin through Jesus. You're looking at me. See, we don't believe that anymore. We think we have to sin every day. Can you go 30 seconds without sinning? Well, then live your life in 30-second increments. Can you go an hour without sinning? Then live your life hour by hour. Can you go a day without sinning? Then live it day by day. Can you go 6? Then live it that way. But I want every time I look back in my life where I fail in temptation, where I fell flat on my face, I can point you to the moment that before the room burst into flame, God provided an open door. I just didn't walk through it. Okay. But what the Bible is saying is that we are preeminently victorious over sin. He died unto sin. He lives unto God. The law of the Spirit of liberty in Christ Jesus has set me free from the power of the law of sin and death. We are to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free and not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Because if we continue to sin, we crucify the Son of God afresh and bring him to an open shame. We trod underfoot the Son of God. We count the blood of the covenant wherewith we were sanctified an unholy thing. And we do despite to the Spirit of grace. And the Scripture brings this truth bomb that through Christ we are victorious over sin. Amen. We're victorious over Satan. He said, I'll bruise Satan under your feet shortly. He conquered death. He conquered sin. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. He conquered Satan. For up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He by the grace of God tasted death for every man, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. The devil is conquered. Jesus has taken captivity captive and given gifts to men. Satan rules by the usurping of authority, which means if you don't give it, he can't take it. That's why the Bible says shun the appearance of evil. When evil comes in stage right, you don't give any place to the devil. You go out stage left. The Bible says submit yourself therefore unto God. Resist the devil, which is a military term. Draw nigh unto God. God will draw nigh unto you. And as you resist the devil, he will flee from you, because he gives us power not only over sin, but he gives us power over Satan. And he gives us power over ourselves. If we do through the Spirit mortify and put to death the works of the flesh, we put to death every day. We die daily. We don't walk in the flesh. We walk in the Spirit. Because if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he also by that same Spirit shall quicken and make alive your mortal body or your life. So that we not only have victory over sin and over Satan, we have victory over ourselves. They that be Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust thereof. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but it's not me. It is Christ that lives within me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You are a victor over sin. You're a victor over Satan. You're a victor over self. You have a victory over the external enemy, which is the world. You have a victory over the infernal enemy, which is Satan. And you have victory over the internal enemy, which is your own self. And then you have victory over situations. Shall tribulation, persecution, distress, peril, sword, famine, nakedness, height, depth, principality, power, life, death, things present, things to come. No. You have victory over all the situations of life, because what Paul said in Romans chapter 8 is they can't divide you. They can't separate you from the fact of God's love in Christ Jesus. And they can't defeat you, because in him you are more than a victor. And they can't dominate you. Why? Because he's not through with them yet. God is at work in everything in your life for your good and his ultimate glory. God works all things together for good to those that love Christ Jesus, who are the called according to his purpose. So in every situation of my life, I'm not divided or defeated or dominated, because God's still working in it. Okay. We are victors. But are we? Are you living that way? Eldridge says it like this. Think of it. You are a shadow of the person you were meant to be. You have nothing close to the life you were meant to have. And you have no real chance of becoming that person or finding that life. However, you are forgiven. For the rest of your days, you will fail in your attempts to become what God wants you to be. You should seek and would seek forgiveness and try again. Eventually, shame and disappointment will cloud your understanding of yourself and your God. When this ongoing hell on earth is over, you will die. And you will be taken before God for a full account of how you didn't measure up. But you will be forgiven. And after that, you'll be asked to take your place in heaven's choir. This is what we mean by salvation. Never. Nonsense. Ridiculousness, non-scriptural, the purpose of salvation. Don't denigrate what Jesus did on the cross and through his resurrection. The purpose of his death and his resurrection is not for you to stumble through life and barely make it by the skin of your teeth. He has made you preeminently victorious. He has made you a conqueror. You know, the problem is we're like the man at the pool who lived there for 38 long years, unable to walk without strength, lying on a mat or a pallet. Do you remember what Jesus told him at the end of that story? Go and... What had him there for 38 years? His sin. Same sin for 38 years caused him to come to a place where he was without strength. He couldn't walk to the place of salvation and deliverance on his own. He was lying and bedridden by sin for 38 long years. Amen? Some of you are like that. And it produces helplessness. I don't have a man. I don't have anybody to help me. I don't have anybody to assist me. And that helplessness, because this sin is over and over and over, and it has you bedridden without strength, and you can't get to the source of salvation, ultimately you become hopeless. That's the way a lot of Christians live, without strength to get to forgiveness. Or there's a lot of people that don't have victory, though they claim to be Christians, over Satan. They're like that lady that had a spirit of infirmity for 18 long years. You know what Jesus said? She's a daughter of Abraham. She's a child of God. She's under the covenant relationships between God and Abraham and God and Moses. All the provisions of the kingdom belong to her. But Satan has oppressed her and treated her like an animal. And he has her in a stall. And he has her tethered and tied up. And the weight of his attack is so great that she can't even lift herself up. And she comes to church every Sunday and goes out worse than when she came, because she's under hell's attack. And there's some of you that don't live with victory, not over only over sin and Satan, but over yourself. You got the same issues now you had 6 months ago. Oh, it's getting really quiet in here. You're like the lady with the issue of blood, 12 years. That issue is from herself, you know. That blood's flowing from herself. And you've been dealing with the same issues for 12 years, same selfishness. Same envy, same strife, same anger, same jealousy, same hatred. Oh, those issues are flowing out of you unabated. And because of it, like that lady for 12 long years, you are hidden away. You don't want anybody to know. Or maybe you don't have victory over situations. And you're like that guy at the beautiful gate. He's been there from his mother's womb. He's been without feet, strength in his feet and ankle bones. He's been deformed and unable to walk on his own for over 40 years. And the situations in your life are such that they've kept you paralyzed and halted. And you never have been able to get up and to walk on your own and to come into the presence of. You see others. You hear others. You hear their testimonies of victory. You see the manifestation of power in them. But your situations have you sitting and begging and unable to rise on your own. But I've come with a truth bomb. That's not Christianity. That's not what God wants. He boldly declares, not in your own power, but through Him, you are preeminently victorious. You know why? Because He went to the cross. Because He is the Lamb of God. Because He shed His life's blood. But He not only died, He was resurrected in the newness of life. And He conquered every force of hell and every power of the enemy. And He spoiled principality and power. And He made a show of them openly. And He triumphed over them like a conquering general. He took them down the streets and paraded them as trophies of His victory. And because you are in Him, we are more than conquerors. Brother Bob, you're right. No, I'm not more than a conqueror. I'm only more than a conqueror through Him that loved me, that gave up His life's blood, that conquered death and hell and sin and Satan by His resurrection. And what I've come to tell you is that we can now live in victory. In every area, over sin, over Satan, over self, over situations. And that's what Paul's trying to get you to understand in 1 Corinthians. Oh, the same night that Jesus was betrayed, He took bread, and when He blessed it, He gave it to His disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. As oft as you do this, do it in remembrance of Me." This is the cup of the blood of the New Testament. Take and drink. For as oft as you do this, you do it in remembrance of Me. And that's where we stop. And so when we come to the communion table, we come with the wrong idea. We're just going to remember Him. We're just going to rehearse the fact that He died and that His broken body was resurrected. I know His body was broken on the cross, but it didn't stay broken. He was resurrected. It is whole and complete, triumphant, victorious, glorified. And so when we come, that, no, no. He said, for as oft as you drink this, oft as you eat this, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. And you know what the word show there means? You announce. Every time you do this, you announce. Every time you do this, you declare. Every time you do this, you proclaim. In fact, the Greek word's a picture. You know what he says? Every time you take communion, you put the Lord's death and his resurrection on a placard. And you hold it as a signboard so that everybody can see that he died, but he's resurrected and he's victorious and he ever lives and reigns to make intercession for you, and because he lives, you live. That the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death, so that every time you do this, you put it on a billboard, you put it on an electric sign going down Heppner Parkway, and it says, Jesus died, Jesus lives, because he lives, I announce I live, I am victorious. Every time I do, you know what I announce? I make a declaration. I make a declaration to sin. I'm not sitting at the pool any longer, because the Lamb of God came through the sheep gate. And because he shed his blood, all my transgressions are forgiven and washed away, and my name's written in the Lamb's book of life, and his spirit's bearing witness with my spirit that now I'm a child of God, and I'm going to roll up this mat that's had me bedridden for 38 long years, and I'm putting that mat on my shoulder, and I'm walking out of here with new strength and new salvation. I will not be bedridden and bound by sin any longer. And every time I take it, I announce to Satan, you are a defeated foe. I got news for you. Jesus showed up to church that morning, and he called her, and he touched her, and the moment he touched her, she was straightened, and that load was lifted. She was untied and set free, and I want to announce, when I take communion, I want to announce that I am no longer bound by the power of Satan. I'm no longer tied up like some animal in the stall. I'm no longer on some weight that I cannot any longer bear. I am set free. And I announce to myself, I've touched him, and I've touched the him. And because I've touched him, and some of you get it, and I've touched the hem of his garment, I want you to know that every issue in my life is stayed. Every issue in my life is staunched. Every issue in my life is over and done with. And he's given me peace, and he's given me comfort, and I'm no longer hidden away. I am set free from every issue of my life in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I announce to situations, you can't keep me halted any longer, because Jesus has come by. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I don't have to sit here begging anymore. All the situations that kept me without strength from entering into the fullness of God, all those 40 plus years of situation that's had me bound, they're no longer into effect, because I've received in the name of Jesus Christ, and I've got new strength, and I'm going to go walking and leaping and praising God, because I am free. If you ever get a hold of that, if you ever receive that truth bomb, it'll change everything in your life. It'll change the way you worship. It'll change your concept of God. You'll no longer have this old mindset that I'm just going to barely make. We used to sing, I want a cabin in the corner of glory land. Well, welcome to it, dear friend. That's not what he said. He said, you have an abundant entrance into the kingdom of God. You're going to go in not defeated and half-hearted. You're a surpassing winner. You not only win, you win 52 to nothing. You not only have the victory and the enemy is vanquished and destroyed, but you take the spoils. You are more than a conqueror through him.
It's been a privilege to have you join us for this time of ministry. To find more Passion Church resources or to make a donation online, visit www.passionchurch.tv. Remember, you can't live without passion.